you so much, Matt. Next, I would like to introduce our first keynote speaker. Joe Waddington is the Director General of Cyber Protection in the Information Technology Security Branch of the CSE. He joined the ITS team from the CSE's Signals Intelligence Branch. He joined in 2004 as part of the CIO organization, where he held a number of roles. Prior to joining the Government of Canada in 2004, Joe held the role of Security Product Manager for Distributed Computing Environment Services at Computer Sciences Corporation. He started his career in the Nortel Networks family of companies, where he spent 15 years in various information technology-related roles. Welcome, Joe. Do you have slides? Do you have slides?
Yep.
Okay, let's find them. Probably alphabetical.
They would be, right there.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
There you go.
Good morning, everyone. First, I was pleased to hear Ryan talk about the fact that this had moved to Ottawa. And as a longtime Ottawa resident, I want to apologize for the weatherman and for Mother Nature. The Ottawa weather in the middle of May is not supposed to have frost warnings and be near freezing. So I don't know how that happened this week, but if you're sticking around for the rest of the week, you should see weather that is much more like what we have here in Ottawa. And please don't run away to some other location because of the weather this year. So if you saw on the agenda, Scott Jones, who is my boss, the ADM of Information Technology Security, was supposed to be here, and it's unfortunate that he can't be. I know he was looking forward to being here. I am absolutely thrilled to be here speaking to you folks today, because I think the work that goes on out of this room is really important, and I think that following on what Matt said, you're going to hear me talk about partnerships today and how CSE partners. And I think that organizations like the one that Matt is representing is critical to that going forward. So I'm going to speak to you today only a tiny bit about CSE, because they made me do that. I'm going to really speak to you about the importance that I believe exists in the cryptographic community. And community is the key word in that, and the importance in working together in partners. But first, I have to speak a little bit about CSE so you can understand the role we play. As Ryan said, I've come from various parts of CSE. The first part of CSE's mandate under the National Defense Act is to do signals intelligence for the Government of Canada, where we acquire information and produce intelligence according to government priorities. The second, or another part of our mandate, is to actually provide technical advice and guidance that crosses also from the signals intelligence branch, also into the IT security, to federal law enforcement agencies under their mandate to deliver their help. And the last part I want to talk about is the information technology security part of our mandate, which is the part that all of my folks that are here at the conference this week represent, that I represent, that Scott is in fact the head of. And we have the responsibility to protect Canadian electronic information and computer networks for the Government of Canada and for Canadians. But I don't want to talk about CSE today. What I want to talk about is cryptography, no surprise. I want to talk about its link to privacy, and I absolutely loved Matt's little thing here. How do we actually know he isn't Diffie-Hellman? So how do you know that this gentleman in the back in the blue shirt is in fact the person you were talking to, and how are you going to find that out? And how are you going to prove it? So I want to talk about cryptography. I want to talk about how it links to the privacy, not just of Canadians, but citizens in all the countries represented here. I want to talk about how some people at the user level may think it's really easy because they can flip a switch somewhere and turn it on, but the people in this room and the people we represent know it's hard, and why is it hard? And then I want to talk about really about partnerships and how we all play a part in it being effective and why that's so important. So specifically, I'm going to talk about these five key elements. The fact that cryptography is ubiquitous, it's part of everything we do in our daily lives, in our daily business, in our online activities. It's at the core of ensuring our privacy, not just personally, but our organization's privacy, our company's privacy, our government's privacy. I'm going to talk briefly again as a small commercial about a couple initiatives the Government of Canada is doing to make use of cryptography. And then I'm going to talk about the fact that cryptography is very hard, but it's not going to be, I think, about the way that the average person thinks of it as being hard. And I hope I won't offend anybody except the mathematicians. And finally, I'm going to talk briefly about how CSC partners with other organizations to try to pull all this together for Canada and the Government of Canada. So I tried to split these two assertions up, one and two, but they kept sneaking back together on me, so I separated them again, and they separated themselves, and then they came back together. So I apologize, I'm going to deal with these two together, and then the others I'll deal with one at a time. Cryptography, as you all know, is part of our everyday lives. We use it every day, and we rely on it every day. So I thought there's going to be 270 people in the room. I wonder how many instances of cryptography, how many cryptographic instances will be in the room. So I thought, okay, well, I've got an Android phone in this pocket. I don't know, there's a dozen on there. I've got a BlackBerry issued by my company in this pocket. I've got some key fobs for my two cars in this pocket. I've got a wallet in the other pocket. I've got like five credit cards, chip and swipe. I've got a bunch of other loyalty cards, all with swipes. I feel a little bit like Keanu Reeves in the Matrix movie. I've got all this armaments and weapons of privacy that I'm unloading at the front of the security desk. If we went through this room, 250 people, we might find there's 1,000 or even more, 10,000 cryptographic instances sitting in this room right now. And actually, they're all out there for the same purpose. They're to make sure that our information, our transactions online are all private, secure. And without the type of work that this group drives forward and pushes for, we wouldn't be able to do that. And as I thought about it, I became concerned, because how sure am I that every one of those 40 or 50 different weapons of protection that I carry around with me are actually secure or not? And I said, oh, don't worry about that. There's people that do that. So my job is to worry about this for the Government of Canada. I have a bunch of people, very competent people, who do that. I suspect when I looked at the attendee list, there's countries from all over the world here, hence the I that was mentioned in international. You all have to do the same for your own governments, your own companies, your own citizens. And today, people across the world, whether they be governments, academia, industries, researchers, they're all expecting these things to work for them. Most of them, like myself, don't give much of a time of day thought to whether or not they're effective or not. They just turn them on and trust that they're going to work. So some examples: financial institutions are sending transactions around the globe, and those transactions are trusted that they're going to be secure. How and why? Government of Canada spends tens of billion dollars a year in contracts. Those contracts are posted, they're bid, the bids are received, they're evaluated, the questions are sent out, responses sent back, bids awarded, invoices sent, all online, and they're all secure. And I suspect the same is true in every other country and every other business that's out there. I'm willing to bet everybody in this room, okay, there's probably one that doesn't, but almost everybody in this room has a social media account or five. And that those social media accounts you think are secure. Facebook will tell us that they have hundreds of petabytes of data in their data centers, and that they're ingesting hundreds of terabytes of personal information a day, and they're using technology to make sure that that's secure. How does Facebook know that technology is secure? And I think it's because of work that starts in places like this room. That personal information is a treasure trove of information, and like any treasure, we need to have ways to protect it. So that leads me to one of my favorite topics, and I'm glad somebody mentioned it, the Internet of Things. When we think about the things in our lives that have encryption, phones, BlackBerries, car keys, you know, my wallet full of devices, all of these things that have encryption and cryptography built into them, and yet we rely on them all working so that we can have our privacy. And I have to tell you about the commercial that I saw on TV that I thought was, you've got to be kidding, somebody's really invented this. And it's a husband walking through a grocery store, and he calls his wife. And his wife is busy doing something in the kitchen with a watermelon scoop and water. That's not important to the commercial. The important part is the husband says, "Honey, do we need milk?" She says, "I'm busy, I don't know." And he says, "Hold on." He punches up an app on his phone, and he looks in his fridge. Somebody's built a fridge with a camera in it. So the husband can look in the fridge and see whether he needs milk. Okay, this is technology gone bad, but somewhere in there's a privacy encryption algorithm to make sure that people can't see what's in your fridge, I guess for prescriptions and things. But all around us, devices are becoming enabled with information about our privacy. Those devices need encryption. The number of implementations of cryptographic modules that are going on around us is exploding at a rate that nobody could have ever imagined. So as we grow more and more reliant on this, every day, every hour, every minute, our information, personal information, private information, government information, financial information, you name it, is being sent all over the world, and that's all being protected by cryptography and cryptographic modules. That there's a theory that they all work. So a brief commercial. Government of Canada is working on a number of initiatives that are going to make use of this, and it's going to make the Government of Canada a better place. So the Government of Canada is working on an identity credential authentication system. We give these things acronyms, not creative ones, ICAS. And it's basically going to be using cryptography in the form of PKI to give a single credential to everyone in the Government of Canada, and then potentially rolled out across Canada. That's not new. We're going to also be using this to help authentication between applications, which brings me to the second initiative that the Government of Canada is doing. But first, when I have to talk about when I joined the government from private sector, I was surprised to find that the Government of Canada had over 100 departments. Okay, it's a big organization, that's okay. I was surprised to find out they had 100 CIOs. That kind of made the chief word in chief information officer seem irrelevant to me. And then I was even more appalled to find out that there were dozens, if not hundreds, of HR systems all being operated at different levels of security and by different people. And so there is a major initiative underway in the Government of Canada now called the Back Office Transformation Initiative to pull all those systems together and all those different security levels together. And they're relying on CSE, and they're relying on cryptography, and they're relying on things like the identity credential authentication system to allow that to happen securely. And then the last piece, I don't think anybody can talk about technology this decade without using the C word. And no, I don't mean cryptography, I mean cloud. As governments increasingly move to putting things out in privately run clouds by private companies, where's your physical perimeter gone? Where's your network perimeter gone? This is a challenge that governments, with their privacy requirements, are just starting to actually work on, and the solutions to those things are going to come from cryptographic modules. Software-defined networks are going to create a problem for all of the people, most not in this room, who used to or are now in our organizations defending our networks. They can't identify our networks anymore. They're going to need to rely on cryptographic modules to provide that protection in the cloud. So CSE is an exciting place to be because we're at the center of doing all of that. This conference is an exciting place to be because this is about making sure that those things work. So my fourth idea I wanted to talk about today is the fact that cryptography is hard, and doing it right takes more time than just doing it, but we have to do that. And so my first statement, now I'm a mathematician by trade, so I'm throwing darts at myself. I'm going to start with a statement that some of you may not like, and that is that I would suggest to you that the cryptographic standards and cryptographic algorithms might just be the relatively easy part of cryptography. And I say that even though I know that it can take years and years of hard work and partnerships, government, industry, academia, researchers, all working together to pull one of those off. I'm not saying they're not important. What I'm saying, though, is that rarely, if ever, do threat actors go after the algorithm or go after the standard or go after the math. Threat actors exploit the implementation. Threat actors exploit the way it's integrated. And that's the space where cryptography gets really hard. So the hard part of successful cryptography, if I'm right, lies in the implementation of the cryptographic modules, the integration of those modules into products. And that means that we need to adhere to standards. We need to have standards for how those things are done. We need to have ways of validating those things. So if we come up with good crypt and we implement it or integrate it badly, what have we actually created? We've created a situation where people believe, like I do about my credit cards and my Android phone, that they're secure and that I can use them and I don't need to worry. And I think that probably makes me more vulnerable by doing that. As more and more products and companies integrate cryptography into their products, the number of implementations go up, the number of mistakes in implementations go up, so does our collective risk, so does the risk to our privacy. So we need to consider another thought, and that is that as the number of implementations go up, why is that happening? Well, there's a mindset in the technology industry that says I have to put a product to market in days or weeks or, heaven forbid, months, and that I need to support my product for months, maybe years, but I'd rather not for years. But in a cryptographic world, that mindset doesn't cut it. We've got to take the time, we need to take the years, because the problems we're worried about protecting, certainly in my previous world in the signals intelligence space, the classified space, we're worried about protecting data for 30 plus years. And we can't be thinking with the same mindset as the technology people. So we have to protect that mindset. We have to worry about that, and we have to put the work in necessary to make sure that cryptography is being done right and isn't just full of the right ideas. And finally, I think the real message I want to talk about today is about partnering. And I was really glad to hear the words that Matt said about the CMUF. I think it's an opportunity for all of you here, or some of you here, to start a new partnership this week before you leave. I know at CSE, we work with NIST, we work with ISO, we're starting to work more with the international standards bodies like ISO, and we work with them to make sure that the cryptographic algorithms, that the cryptographic modules are properly implemented. So we have partnerships between government and industry that we believe are absolutely crucial to our success. The CMVP program, the CAVP program, the Common Criteria program. We support those things. We put time and effort into them because they're important to the Government of Canada. We know that using products that have been validated ensures that the recommended cryptographic algorithms are being used, but more importantly, it means they've been properly implemented. And using the right algorithm poorly implemented is not going to work. So CSE is also involved in looking at future generations of technology. Certainly, we work with quantum technologies. We're working on entropy and random number problems. And we're also looking at development of next generation algorithms. But all of those things, when they happen, have to be done correctly. We also have a program called the TIMSC, another not creative acronym, called the Tut Institute for Mathematics and Computing. This is a world-class research facility inside CSE that works internationally and nationally, again, to foster partnerships into research into math and computing. So our approach to this is that no single organization has the answer. We don't. No single organization has the capability to do this alone. Governments, industry, academia, and groups like this group, groups like the user forums, need to work together to do that. So in closing, you're all here today because you believe cryptography is important, and I believe you're right. It's going to remain part of our lives every single day. But I think more importantly, like in The Matrix, and they had all those guns, I'm no Keanu Reeves, we all walk around every day with weapons in our arsenal against the fight against privacy, to protect our privacy, and cryptography is at the core of every one of those weapons. But doing it right is hard, and doing it wrong is just unthinkable. And looking at modules and validating those modules, validating the implementation and the integration, is critical to doing that. So CSE is the role of the Government of Canada's National Authority for Cryptography. We're taking measures to explore new approaches and avenues for collaborating and partners with others to make sure that our national systems are protected. And I know most of you are doing the same. So I want to leave you with a challenge while you're here this week. As you leave here today, as you spend the next 3 days going through these 72 plus sessions, I ask you not to think about how do I, me, my organization solve this problem, but ask yourself, of the other 270 people in this room, which of them should be your partner going forward to help you solve this problem? Because we can't solve this ourselves. You've already met one, Matt. He's up here in the corner. Come and meet with him, and he's going to give you a free ticket. Leave this conference this week with a list of new partners. Not just one, however many you need to make your organization successful. And also find those partners that your organization can help make successful, because a partnership is both ways. So if you are interested in learning more about CSE, we have a booth here this week. We have a team of people that will be at that booth. Please stop by, ask them questions. I've loved being here today, and if you have, do we have time for questions?
Yeah, you got a couple minutes for questions, yeah.
If we have any questions, happy to take them now, or I'll be at the networking break, and you can come find me.
Sure.
I really appreciate all of the great things you've been saying, because I think the Government of Canada has been a little bit remiss in not adopting this. This whole attitude, and I think I would like to ask you how we have ITS G33, which is mapped to SB100-53. Is there really a good effort to try to look at our systems and make sure that the government systems are mapped for that? Do they do have those controls?
So I'm going to do a lousy job of paraphrasing that for the people in the back.
Okay.
But I won't throw out the parts I want to throw out. I'll keep those. The comment was that the Government of Canada has been somewhat remiss in doing some of these things. And we have a IT security guidance document called ITS G33. And is there a plan to actually apply that against everything we're doing? So, no comment. That's the remiss part. That's an opinion. Everybody has one. In terms of, and yes, we do have an ITS G33, and yes, it is being updated. So I think in answer to what is the Government of Canada doing on that front, I think shared services, which is a new part of the Government of Canada, been formed to bring all these disjoint pieces together. Shared services is absolutely an ally in terms of bringing security, and they do nothing moving forward without us being involved. I'm going to go back to that remiss comment. I will say that that the ITS branch of CSE has three parts: cyber defense, cyber protection, that's my space, and cybersecurity partnerships. There has been a period of time leading up to, I would say, this year and last year, where we have been very focused on cyber defense. And we've been very focused on creating a world-class defensive mechanism to keep attacks from the Government of Canada happening. It's very clear to me in my organization now that the eye of good money has swung over to look at my organization to say, how do we get the rest of the Government of Canada using ITS G33? How do we make sure that that's out there better? And we are absolutely looking at doing that. Shared services is an absolute ally in that space. Other CIOs that aren't under shared services in the Government of Canada are absolutely reaching out to us, and we are spending lots of time with them. So, yes, I believe we have a plan to get there. It's not a one-step plan or a two-step plan. Like other things, it's a lot of hard work and it'll take a while, but we are absolutely driving it. Other questions? One way in the back. There's a microphone here.
You can use the mic if you like. Okay, your exercise jogging up to it. There you go.
Hi, Joe. It's really nice to see you. Former colleague, Holly Porteous, now with Library of Parliament. I'm torn between two questions.
One question, Holly. Can people in the back hear?
Yeah.
Is the microphone working?
Let's get closer to the microphone.
Yeah, I don't know if it's working.
If I get closer to the microphone, this could get pornographic.
Oh, there's working.
There you go.
That's good?
Yeah, that's good, Holly.
Testing. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the shared services relationship, but you know what? I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to go straight to the whole future-leaning stuff and the business about, what was the acronym for that, ICAS?
ICAS.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yep.
So there's some interesting privacy implications to that notion. You know, the more that you do to create a secure situation, it can work against privacy interests. And I wonder, how are you engaging the Privacy Commission? I'm sure you are. How are you engaging the Privacy Commissioner's office there? And is there any way you can kind of give me a taster of how you might be dealing with some of those issues?
So actually, I think, I wish I'd paid you to ask that question, Holly.
I know.
But I did not. But it's good to see you again. So I'll go back to your statement that as you bring a bunch of identities together, as you bring a bunch of organizations that previously were separate together, and you bring them all into one place, do you expose or risk or do something to their privacy? And the answer is yes, certainly. You raise the risk level of privacy. That's where cryptography has to step in. That's where ICAS, that's where BOTI, I hate the acronym, that's where the back office transformation has to step in and properly implement cryptography to identify if that portion of the population has different privacy concerns, they need to be cryptographically protected. So shared services is working with us to make sure those things happen in those spaces, that those capabilities are there. And it would be shared services that would be taking the lead to the Privacy Commissioner's office. And we would only be supporting them to make sure that if there are concerns, we'd look into our magic bag of weapons and pull out one that would help protect that piece of the privacy.
That would be a really good thing to make sure that parliamentarians understand that relationship properly between yourselves and Shared Services Canada. That's who I work with now, and I think it's not quite there.
Okay. So then we should talk later, because
we should talk.
I don't ever want parliamentarians to think that I'm supposed to be doing something that I'm not supposed
to be
doing.
There's nothing worse than being
misunderstood. And I don't ever want to be them to be disappointed with what ourselves and Shared Services are doing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. See you at break. I think there's one other question coming up.
Actually, I think we're going to have to call it there and do that one after. I'm sorry. I am tasked with keeping us on schedule, so I've got to do it. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you.